What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now.
A lot of you guys have been requesting a solo episode. I've been really loving doing interviews and getting to connect with high-level badasses in various fields. But you ask and you receive. So seeing as this whole production is made for your guys' benefit, I'm doing a piece that is called The 10 Surefire Level Up Strategies, no matter what your industry. I get a lot of people saying, I really love when you do the generalized stuff more than a lot of the specific how-tos. This is me combining the two. So I'm not doing a pay-per-click tutorial. I'm not doing a lose weight or this is how you do a certain type of diet or getting yourself into ketosis. These are going to be how-to format, but they're also not industry specific. Realistically, each one of these bullets could be a completely separate podcast. So if you guys have the desire to hear more about one bullet specifically, please feel free to reach out, ask me questions on my story, send a DM, hit me up. I'm RevLabsPrez on Instagram, which reminds me, this is meant to be a gift to anybody listening to it. I do no monetization of this whatsoever. I have no ads. I have no traffic or affiliate links that drive anywhere for anything that I'm being paid for. Any plug or anything that I talk about is simply stuff that I believe in. And that being said, the biggest thank you that you can give me in return for this is if you're listening to this and you found value, share this podcast with somebody else that will find value in it or from it. Screenshot it, throw it up on your story with a tag. Fuck, I don't care how you generally share links, email it to someone. I think on Apple iTunes, you can just click the share and you can either copy and paste the link to this episode or you can share the podcast in general. People sharing the content that they find valuable or tagging somebody else in a post with something that they think that person can benefit from is the biggest paying it forward or biggest paying it back that I could possibly ever ask for. So with your support and my shameless plug aside, let's get right into it. Surefire level up strategy number 10, regardless of your industry. I've said it a million times before, it's making the top of my list. Number 10 is to create directional clarity. A lot of the time, and I've said it a million times, you don't know if you're on track if you don't know what the finish of your track looks like. If you cannot define your finish line, I can't tell you how many times I start getting into a discussion with somebody and they say to me, I just don't know how to blah, blah, blah. I just don't know how to blah, blah, blah. How do you da, 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 or I'm experiencing this error or this upset or this challenge or this difficulty or this barrier. And I'm like, stop. What do you want? Well, I want to da, da, da. No, no, no. What does the goal look like? What do you want like in this minute, in this like frame of reference, like whether or not you have eaten enough or you haven't eaten enough? When I'm saying, what do you want? I mean, what is the purpose of, if I resolve everything that you bring up, what does the finish line look like? I've spoken a lot about knowing where you're headed, knowing what the end result is, but a part of directional clarity is that once you defined the end goal is to break it down into benchmarks. And that this is like something I practice in my day in, day out behavior. If I have what I refer to as a have, what I'm committed to having, it's a what by when. So if I have a commitment, if I've set a have of producing 10 by 1 month from now, then I also need to back that up and say, okay, so I have zero right now and I'm committed to having 10 in 1 month. So where do I need to be at each 1 week increment? Well, that would mean that I need to be at 2.5 by Friday. That means in 2 weeks, I need to be at 5. That means in 3 weeks, I need to be at 7.5. And that means in 1 month, right? 4 weeks, 4.2 weeks, I will hit my goal of 10. When I say directional clarity, I also mean like the directional checkpoints along the way to your finish line. You know, when you type in your GPS or in Google Maps or whatever, where you're going, does it just say, okay, cool, I now know where I'm going, so I'll see you when you get there? Or does it give you like the turn by turn by turn? So like at any given point, you can see if you're on course or off course. The part of the directional clarity isn't just what does my finish line look like, although that's like your imperative starting place, because a lot of people don't even know what that looks like for them. But give yourself the ability where you don't have to rethink through, okay, fuck, where am I trying to land? Okay, that means that I have to do 2.5 a week. That means, fuck, I'm 2 weeks in, da da da. No, man, like have a normal check-in process with yourself that has like the date and the directional check-in very clearly, hence directional clarity, knowing that to clearly hit your objective, this is the direction the entire line of progress needs to follow. It doesn't have to be linear, by the way. I mean, you can say, well, fuck, the first two are going to be the hardest to get. So I'm going to, you know, say that I have to get, and these are just widgets or like made up units of production, right? There's not even, it's 10 isn't even assigned to anything. But if I want to have 10 X's, or I need want to have produced 10 Y's or Z's or widgets or whatever by 1 month from now, you know, that means that in 1 week, I want to be able to produce my first one, because that's going to be the hardest. And then in 2 weeks, I need to be at 4. And in 3 weeks, I need to be at 8. And then the last two will be super easy the last 1 week. But set that directional clarity for yourself, and you're going to watch how much easier your behavior and your adjustments and your responsiveness to whatever difficulty or challenges or resistance you're experiencing increases. Your responsiveness and your production levels are going to go through the roof. Surefire level up strategy, regardless of your industry, number 9, you need to audit your squad. You need to become very, very sensitive to the vibes that you're allowing yourself to be surrounded by. So take a look at the people. You know, there's some quote of like, you are a summation of like your 5 closest people to you or whatever. I don't know how much I buy that, but I do buy very, very, very much that in times when I have had my people around me, this is like one of the core things that I do, is after I've made the direction clear, I share it with my crew. I have my go-to people for finance. I have my go-to people for my physical state and my physical condition. I have my go-to people that are like, help me when I feel like my course is deviating and I need, you know, financial guidance or planning, or I need, you know, digital strategy interventions, or I need anything. I have my squad and my humans around me, so that like, if you have shitty vibes in any element of your life, that area where the shitty vibes exist is going to be the area that suffers, or at the very least is going to be the area that requires that much more effort, that much more horsepower to be able to produce the same amount. Here's another thing. If you're surrounded not just by rah-rah bullshit positivity, I mean, squad and vibes are important to keep it realistic if your head's in the clouds, although I find like I live 99% with my head in the clouds, and that's perfectly fucking fine. But that being said, they're there to take turns being the barometer. So if they are clear on the direction you're heading, if they have clarity on your direction because you've set that, you may just fucking be tired. You might be hungry. You might be overly horny or burnt out or just experienced a failure and you need to like brush it off or whatever. But human beings, even if they're great human beings, even if they are high producing human beings, are still human beings. Nobody, and I'm a pretty high throttling guy 99% of the time, still are susceptible to wavering. Still are susceptible to being like, I'm having like doubt in this, or I don't know if it's still good to be pushing towards that. I'm going to be very, very clear. Your people, the number 2 and 3 and 4 around you, the people that you're interfacing with on a regular basis, gives you the ability, if these people are good, to not have to be at a 10 production level all the time. If your faith wavers, if your tenacity or your enthusiasm level or your belief in the end goal gets muddied up by anything, your strong squad members can be there to be like, remember, look, this is where you showed us we were going. This is why you said it was important. This is your what, this is your why, this is your by when. Here's the have, here's why you committed to it. Here's what the commitment looks like. Here's what the world looks like once this thing has been implemented. Here are the implications of the impact on you and on your environment, blah, 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 which allows them to pick the ball back up when you're feeling like weaning. So you need to be very, very, very clear about rallying the troops, about creating your squad, and make sure that everybody that is there in your life has at least a purpose, if not many purposes. But if they are just there because they're there, chances are you're making room for them. And I would invite you very much to have the mindset of surrounding yourself by people that contribute or don't have those people. And contribution can take one of many forms, but having people that are there just to kind of like make noise and sometimes reinforce or talk shit, most likely they're just fucking taking up space or time or communication or whatever units that unless they are pushing your thing or your thing's power, or they're offering some sort of perspective that you're not getting elsewhere, I would really, really think hard twice about why those people are in your life. Surefire level up strategy, no matter what your industry, number 8. Here's a huge one. Positivity inundation. You have a responsibility to inundate yourself with uplifting, motivational, educational reinforcement. When I was starting my first business, those of you that don't know my story or haven't been listening to me for all that long, I was a senior at San Diego State University. I was broke and married and had a kid my senior year. I was starting my first business and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Every single day that I would wake up, I would start my day by watching Steve Jobs's commencement speech to Stanford University. I used to be able to recite the entire thing by heart. And I wasn't doing it because somebody told me, like, find something that inspires you and then like just absolutely inundate your mindset with it, or like fill your head up with positivity or people you look up to, etc. I was just doing it because life was so freaking hard. And when I was connecting with the beauty and with the concept of what Steve Jobs was saying, who was some like, you know, college dropout that was not respected by society and frankly incapable of being successful in the parameters that society had and the expectations and the framework that society had laid out and was very important to his parents to be able to succeed in, he was incapable of succeeding at those things. I found it so ironic and so beautiful that he was speaking at one of the highest level scholastic ceremonies to the best and the biggest and the brightest minds that are going to be the next generation's torchbearers for the way things are run. And he's talking to them about how they should be viewing life and viewing the world. I really, really identified with that. And life was so friggin' hard. And I felt so lost that one thing I felt sure about was the way that I felt listening to that and connecting with the message, even though I already knew the whole thing. Life makes a lot of noise, guys. There's so much fucking noise. A lot of it is neutral, but the majority of it is negative. You know, the world, the messaging is filled with you can't unless, or you're not good enough, or you need to be able to X if you are going to try to create Y, or you're not educated enough, or you're not pretty enough, or you're not talented enough, or you need to lose weight, or you need to have a following, or whatever the hell the message is. There's so much negative reinforcement. And look, I can tell you as a guy that like prides himself on being a very, very positive thinker, I don't think there's anybody. I was going to say there's like a fraction of 1% of human beings, but I take that back. I don't think there's a single person that does not have thoughts of self-doubt. And if you truly had zero self-doubt, you would be a like sociopath and frankly like wildly unhealthy and not considering enough of the other side of the argument. But that being said, it's not a matter of if this thought of self-doubt occurs. It's whether or not you choose to go into agreement with that thought. It's whether or not you choose to like look at it and be like, I identify with it, or no, I'm going to choose these thoughts in like the haves and the commitments that I've made, or I set up, my directional clarity is like locked in and tight and sound and in place, I'm going to choose that direction instead of wherever the fuck those thoughts, feelings, emotions, whatever are going to lead me. That choice becomes easier. The choice to choose which thoughts or which emotions or which feelings you are identifying with becomes infinitely, infinitely easier when you have reinforcement of the positive shit. So when you hear messages of you can, or you are good enough, or this is what it takes to succeed, or hearing stories of people that have succeeded, or anything that is elevating your consciousness, dude, it's infinitely easier and dudettes than it was a decade ago to do this. But man, seek it out. Like, there's YouTube for anything. There's podcasts for anything. Turn on the white noise. I mean, every single energy, every single sound, every single everything has a frequency to it. It has an energy to it. Is it something that is elevating you? I mean, this is the most fundamental way to break it down. Is it something that's picking up your mindset, or is it something that is suppressing your consciousness? Is it something that reinforces the you can't, the world is fucked, the economy is this, the market is that, the consumer is this, millennials are that, whatever the hell it is? Or is it something saying you can? Put your fucking head down, achieve in silence, kick ass, take names, all of that stuff. There's more than enough content out there. It doesn't need to be sought out as hard as it used to be. Go download or subscribe to 5 podcasts of people that inspire you. Go fucking pick up a book. If reading is not your thing, I would re-audit the people that you're following on Facebook, on Instagram, whatever, because just shit popping up in my feed that is not fueling my soul takes seconds away from energy units that I otherwise could spend producing, connecting, recording, sharing, elevating, getting elevated. I don't want it in my space. So inundate yourself relentlessly. Make sure, even if it's in the fucking background, guys, make sure you are listening to something that's picking you the fuck up, because with the amount of invalidation and failure that life is going to reinforce and is going to give you, and the amount of resistance you're going to deal with, regardless of your route or your strategy, believe me, the reinforcement is going to be well needed. And if not needed, it's going to be a really, really fucking helpful thing when you're digging deep in your emotional tanks for that last little bit of juice. Surefire level up strategy, regardless of your industry. Number 7, rally your tribe. This goes a lot with the first 3, right? Or 10, 9, and 8. Once you've created directional clarity and you know what the end goal looks like, and you know how to check in whether or not you are on pace with that goal or you are off pace with that goal, and you've audited your squad and the people around you are supporters. Whether or not supporters are all sunshine and rainbows, sometimes supporters can be accountants and they're just the people that keep you freaking level. They're the people that are able to tell you what's what and where your P&L is and where your balance sheet is. They don't have to be cheerleaders to make the cut in your life. But they're also not soul suckers. They are also not reinforcers of the bullshit. And you are now inundating yourself with positivity and you know what the hell you stand for. It's time to rally your fucking tribe. You know, I've given this example before. When you're walking down, you know, Aztec Center was the name of my, like, you know, main hub in college at San Diego State. And you're walking down, you know, Aztec Center during rush week, and you see, like, you know, here's the, like, business fraternity. Here's the Jewish fraternity. Here are the guys with the dopest parties I've heard. Here, you know, are like, this frat is very meatheady, you know, and the same thing for girls, the same thing with clubs. Like, are you into chess? Are you into acapella? Are you into water skiing, whatever it is, you know, they have like a wakeboarding club. Imagine consumers, or like anybody that's hearing any of your content or your stuff, are the students walking down Aztec Center. If you don't have a booth set up saying, this is who we are, this is what we stand for, this is what our crew looks like, this is what we're trying to create, people don't have the opportunity to stop by that booth and opt in emotionally, you know, mailing list wise, socially or otherwise, physically. You know, they have no way of getting behind you if they don't know that you exist. You know, if you make the world's best bunny slippers, I recommend you talking about what it requires to make the world's best bunny slippers. You know, people try so hard, I feel, to be everything to everyone. That's a really, really, really great way to not stand for anything. And if you don't stand for anything, it doesn't invite the people who stand for that same thing to get the fuck behind you. So look at your last three or four posts. If it is not very, very relevant what you stand for and what you are posting about, give it some thought. Decide what it is that you stand for and put your freaking booth up, stake your flag, throw up your symbol so that people that stand for that same thing can get behind you. A very, very, very magical momentum occurs when you have made your, like, this is what I stand for clear. This is what I'm up to. This is what I'm attempting to create. This is what I'm committed to. I'm positive vibes only. If you want into my squad, this is how you earn it. And then people start opting in. It carries a lot of it. Because in the beginning, when you're chef, cook, and bottle washer, you're doing everything. When you're pounding the pavement, if you're not like, if you're like a sole proprietor, and you don't have a following and you don't have a staff and you're not kicking tires and you're not, like, you know, pounding the phones, shit does not happen, right? Rally your tribe means make it clear what you stand for and invite others to support the same thing. And what's going to happen is you're going to start creating alliances. You're going to have people that listen to your message and you go, I stand for that same thing. We're kindred. I'm down to follow where that guy is going. I'm down to help this guy co-create. I have a very parallel message. I have a very parallel goal. It's not exactly identical, but you know what? I think me and that person are allies, even though we've never spoken. We're going to Olympia next month, right? I can't tell you how many people come up and when we're interfacing and we're just kind of shooting the shit and they want like a picture or they have a question about something or like, I'm sorry to be talking like this. It feels weird. I feel like I know you already. They're like excusing themselves. Not that it bothers me. It's actually quite the opposite. It's like the biggest compliment ever when they're speaking to me that I can just be like totally in my own skin and we don't have to do any sort of like catch up or acclimation because I've made what I stand for clear and I am constantly inviting others to join. That's called rallying your tribe. And if you want to create massive momentum, if you want to have support like you've never had before, if you want to have a bunch of people like contributing their creative energy or resources or helping to keep that snowball going until it has so much fucking momentum that you have a machine behind it and it's carrying itself, you have to be able to rally your tribe. Surefire strategy to level up no matter what your industry. Number six, create assets. What do I mean by create assets? Like invest in a bunch of real estate? Not necessarily, although I have a couple of opinions on that and definitely love real estate as an investment. No, what I mean is in this world of content production or leadership, I see a lot of people communicating their message in first person when and if the scenario calls for their message being communicated. So I actually am like stealing this one from Tim Ferriss and I'm like, I'm tweaking it. But I listened to a Tim Ferriss podcast, who I love, by the way. If you guys don't listen to Tim Ferriss talk about like positivity inundation, like go freaking listen to some of his stuff. His new Tribe of Mentors is badass. Tim, if you're listening to this, I'd love to have you on the show. When you create an asset, what his podcast said, and this is not about creating assets, it was about training your people. And training my people as I was growing was becoming a pain in the ass because I would spend time training somebody up to a certain level. And then when I needed them for a different position or they left or they got fired or whatever, there was like having to train somebody from scratch again. So what he said was to film yourself doing the training and make it a walkthrough. You can do like little quizzes or tutorials or whatever. But when you're explaining it, there's not a whole lot of reason that every single time it's explained, it needs to be explained from you from scratch. If you do a good job capturing the message, that can then be redistributed. And I'm saying to do it, not necessarily with training your employees, although that's been incredibly, incredibly helpful for me. I do instructional videos on especially digital shit with like Amazon or pay-per-click campaigns or examples for like, you know, how to post or how to set up, like very much in like the paid advertising world. This is like absolute 101 that you have to go through. That being said, I mean it with like, if you have a message of some kind, like put that message down. Like blog articles, that's an asset. PDFs, that's an asset. Downloadable ebooks, those are assets. I actually started my podcast with recording a bunch of shit as like a explaining to somebody a concept that I had explained a bunch of times, slash like an audio diary where I was just like venting into a microphone for about 7 months, or maybe it was even longer than that, before even launching the podcast, so that I had this stuff recorded as I was thinking about it, because I found myself explaining a lot of the same things over and over again. When you have an asset instead of just your time, you can duplicate and disseminate and distribute that thing at will. You can put it in some sort of automation. It can float around. It can be shared. Instead of you just somebody like internalizing your message or internalizing your lesson and then going and re-explaining it, they can share that original thing. So especially with like how-to information, get it recorded, get it written, get it on video, get it in audio. And whether or not you disseminate that asset is a different story. But building your Instagram following, that's an asset. I can tell you if their algorithm switches and you stop posting, well, then that asset starts to depreciate. But if you have recorded information of some kind, that can go on after you're dead. You know, look at Biggie's Life After Death album, right? He had a bunch of shit recorded. He then had no ability because he got shot to distribute it. But people, his tribe, his squad, his followers, his contemporaries were able to keep a lot of, you know, the goals live, you know, with going back to Cali and all the other things that were released after Biggie died. Now, I know Biggie and I have a ton in common, but that would be something else. You don't have to be a recording artist like Biggie and I to be able to record your assets. So books, audio, video, start creating your library. You're not sure what you want your persona to be on YouTube or the direction of your channel or whether you want to do two channels or just different playlists within the same channel. It doesn't matter. Create the asset and figure out where and how you're distributing them later. Surefire level up strategy, no matter what your industry. Number five, find a mentor. This one is self-explanatory. I've done other things on finding a mentor, so I don't need to go into it in crazy detail. But the main gist of it is this. You're going to learn by doing. You're not going to learn by reading. You're not going to learn by listening. You're not going to learn by like, I'm going to ingest every single podcast on pay-per-click and the history of like digital marketing and then all of a sudden be a great digital marketer, right? You're going to have to go and do. The great part about having a mentor, and this is actually one of my favorite things to do in the world, is working with one person, maybe two people at a time, towards a common goal, towards leveling them up. The great piece about working with a mentor is twofold. Number one, you can save yourself a lot of the trial and error. You're still going to have to learn by doing, but it's going to be a whole lot less expensive by doing alongside or underneath somebody that's been there before. And number two is not only do you not have to like reinvent the wheel, but if you find somebody that is good at what you want to be good at and you emulate them, at least in that capacity, looking up to that person and being able, like not just being able to mimic them in regard to the thing that you're trying to be good at, but if you have an open dialogue and an open relationship where they're able to help you course correct, a lot of the time you start to progress and then you deviate. If you're working with a mentor, as you start to deviate, they can help you deal with that deviation and the cause of that deviation and spotting that deviation in the first place by saying, dude, I've been there before. This is the beginning stages of burnout. You need to reconnect with your why, or your what is not clear. I hear that your what you're trying to create is changing in your mind. Before thinking about what you have to do, go back to that directional clarity piece and see if that's still what you want and where you're trying to go. They can help you make those micro adjustments so you don't wake up one day and you're just a gazillion miles off course with a couple of like courses bought and a million podcasts listened to and like three half finished projects feeling like frustrated with a lack of production. Find somebody that's good at what you want to be good at and get them in your space, man. Like that psyche wearing off on you is the most valuable thing you can possibly do to accelerate your elevation. And we want to talk about positivity inundation. If you have a mentor, that's going to check off your directional clarity, your squad, and the vibes that you're exposed to, your positivity inundation, creating assets and rallying your tribe all in one thing. If you have a good fucking mentor, they're going to make sure that those things are going check, 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 check. And they themselves will check off at least one through three for you. Surefire level up strategy, no matter what your industry, number four. This one is huge. So huge that I've done a podcast just on this alone and feel like there's a lot of stuff that I could still do. And this is to catch yourself being good. So frequently we have a post that does bad, or we have a project that doesn't get finished, or we swing and we hit a foul ball that was so close to being a home run, but the guy catches it in the outfield and that was the third out of the inning and the game's over and we lost. And it doesn't matter how close we got, we have that like feeling of this sucks. We're going to have reinforcement after reinforcement of the shit. That's why I say to inundate yourself with positivity, but there's two different forms. There's positivity outside in, which is what I was referring to before. And this one of catch yourself being good is the positivity starting from inside yourself to yourself. So it's inside, almost outside, where you're like, I want to validate you for this. These are the things you did well. So I do catch you being good cards with Noah. You know, he like does things arbitrarily. My mom did catch you being good cards with me, actually. That's where I got it from. Thanks, Mom. He does something good, or he like show, you know, he helps to like that he has to take out the trash. You know, last week I caught him. He took out the trash just in time and the trash guy was there and his nanny was there to like bring the trash cans back in, and him and the nanny and the trash guy brought the trash cans back in together when the trash guy usually just comes and brings them back and puts them next to our garage. And I was like, why did you help bring the trash cans back in? He's like, I just wanted to be useful and the guy was nice. And I figure I never really thought about it before. You know, he picks up our trash cans. I always just like put them out to the curb and then somehow they like end up back, you know, wherever they end up. And I never really thought about how they got there. And then when I saw a guy emptying the trash cans into the, you know, the trash truck, I figured there was a guy there that has to bring them back every time. And he seemed like a good dude and I wanted to help him with it. My son is 9, by the way. You know, that Friday when I did the Caught You Being Good cards, he got one for being like an upstanding citizen, for exercising compassion, and for being helpful in a way that he didn't have to. That's reinforcing the good qualities to hopefully raise a badass, well-rounded human being that's got it where it counts. As we're trying to level up, as you're trying to like improve, as you're trying to commit to bigger things and be better and be more efficient and produce more and be happier, you have to be the parent and the life coach of yourself in that capacity where you know you do good things. It would be really, really, really helpful and it will make those things hit harder if you pause and you acknowledge them. So in the morning, say, I want to acknowledge you for, or three things I like about you are, or I love you because, or and literally say things to yourself or list things to yourself. At the end of the day, I go, I like the way you handled blah. And they don't have to be psychotically huge like things. They don't like, I was talking to Rob Moore and he was saying every time he doesn't punch his kid in the head, he deserves a Parent of the Year award. And he was joking with like the exaggeration or like the hyperbole of the comment, but there's a lot of truth to it. Like just because you do something very frequently doesn't mean it doesn't deserve validation from yourself. Like you get up with like, sometimes I don't even realize the shit that I'm doing that's good until somebody else that's not familiar or as familiar with me is exposed to it and hasn't been used to being exposed to it. And they're like, dude, it's crazy how you just go thing, 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 call, call, call. Like you've been at an 11 all day. And like, if someone were to call me and be like, hey, how was your day? I'm like, it was pretty good. I don't know. It was normal. Doesn't even faze me that I'm like trying to throttle or trying to be high production. But when somebody is in my space for 12 hours in a row that is not used to it, they point it out. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to pause for a second. And instead of just being like, yeah, that's just how I produce, I'm going to be like, okay, that's abnormal. Josh, attaboy, good job. Like fresh reinforcement of the fact that you're continuing to bring the heat and you're doing something right. Catch yourself being good, guys. The stuff you put your attention on expands. It may seem stupid, but mark my words, when you start reinforcing and reinforcing, the things that you're reinforcing are going to get bigger and bigger, and the things worth catching yourself for are going to expand and become more powerful and more frequent. Surefire level up strategy, regardless of your industry. Number three, shifting to a contribution-based mindset. I hear so many people talking about create value, or Gary says jab, jab, left hook, you know, like give, 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 and then ask. A contribution-based mindset isn't this in exchange for that. When I say contribution-based mindset, a lot of the time I don't even think about where the giving back or where the thing comes full circle. I just fucking am contributing. I'm just like giving energy units and creation units and love and energy and like psychic fucking support and creativity into the thing that I'm being exposed to. Believe me, I'm not an anti-opportunist. I'm not like just this guy walking around like out of sheer altruism being like, I will bless everything with like my skill sets in life, right? I'm not a monk like meditating up on a hill somewhere. But what I'm saying is the boomerang effect when you're chucking value bombs and you're improving anything that you touch. I know you guys know that type of person. Like, I don't know what his position is on da-da-da, or I don't know about his availability during these dates, but I know if he's a part of it, it's going to be better. Like, you want to be known as one of those guys. And the way to do that, or girls, I should say, is to just constantly be fucking contributing without asking for anything, or make the ask, but make it very secondary if you even make it. But I would way rather just be accumulating chits and accumulating points that can later then maybe be called in if somebody remembers it. That's way more powerful than like, oh, I'm 2-1 with that guy. I'm 6-4 with this guy. This guy owes me 7. I owe that guy 9, right? Like, people think that they're being value-based. It's really a beingness more than it's a doingness. But it's like, it's impossible to be in a contribution-based mindset. I mean, you improve everything you touch just by, you have at least have a desire to improve everything you touch. Like, it's impossible to be in a contribution-based mindset and see an old woman like struggling to like cross the street or get up the curb and like rush into your like lobby and in your office because you're late for a phone call. And be like, well, that's not my thing that I'm contributing to. No, it's like, dude, if you pass it, you help the person up the steps, and then you don't like tell that old lady, hey, follow me on Instagram if you got one, right? If you're in that mindset, it's just like relentless giving and relentless elevation and relentless attempting to better anything that you can. Before I go on stage, I don't say like, oh, please let, you know, help this lead to more book sales. Or my intention is to like, make sure everybody knows that if they need an Amazon guy, I'm their vendor to like bring their brand to market. When I get quiet and I have like those nerves and it's like that pre-show, that pre-stage thing, I set the intention of like, please give me the words and the ability to identify what needs to be said to be of much value as I possibly have the capability of being to this audience. If and when that is the case, you're going to watch the world like meet you where you're at. Like, things are going to like lay down for you. And it's almost like a catch-22 because that's not why you do it. But if you want your life to just like those people that life just gives to them constantly, it's probably because they're attempting in any circumstance that they're in to outgive life. Surefire level up strategy, no matter what your industry. 2, embrace and invite failure. Not a fun one, but an inevitable one. The bad news is no matter what you attempt in your life, you're going to have failures. The good news is no matter what you attempt in your life, you're going to have failures. And therefore, there's nothing to lose. There's only like the perception of losing shit. But straight up, guys, if you swing and you miss, that is infinitely better than not swinging. And I'm not saying every idea you've ever wanted to try at was a worthwhile idea. I'm just saying being worried about failing at that idea is not an adequate justification to not do that idea if the rest of it is sound. Like, fear of failure is such a nonsensical, paralyzing fear for people, at least in my mind, because failure is not just something that you can't avoid. It's something that's necessary. Not to mention, it's something that you can't even identify until well after the fact is over. I told you that I used to listen to Steve Jobs all the time. Here's a good one from that speech and from just like his story. He got fired very, very publicly from Apple when he was 30 or 31, maybe. Being fired from Apple was like the biggest public failure of his life. But that led, you know, he said like the heaviness of the establishment and the heaviness of success was replaced with the lightness of being new. He was able to go back to his garage and start tinkering again. He had been fighting with the board. The board ended up winning the struggle and they fucking booted him from his own company. That led to him going and creating Pixar and advancing animation and like leading to CGI. And also like, how's that for a revelation that wouldn't have occurred but for his failure? It also led to him creating a company called Next that then later ended up getting him his board seat back at Apple. Next was acquired by Apple. And part of the deal was that Steve Jobs became the CEO of Apple again with unchecked power in the product development sector of the company, which then obviously led to the iPod and iPhone and, you know, iTunes podcasting, right? So that originally was deemed as a failure. Later on, the dots connected looking backwards and it was like the greatest opportunity. And a lot of the time, that's what failures are, is opportunities. And they're actually not even failures at all. They're just necessary monkey branches to swing to the next rung of production. They're stepping stones across, you know, the river of success. They seem and feel like failures, but dude, people think that success is like a pretty line with some setbacks, but then they get back on track. And the reality, it's not. It's like a wild scribble and like all over the place. Game plan has changed 400 times with 10 billion failures. And the net on top of all of the psychosis is a positive instead of a net negative. That's really what success is. So you're going to fail. Invite it. Get used to it. Look, guys, I mean, the post-it note was meant to be a thing that sticks permanently and becomes like an instruction or a note that has to stay there. And they couldn't get it to stick. And then the guy's like, oh, wait a second. Maybe there's a use for something that is like stickable and removable or stickable and fall offable. And now it's the fucking post-it note, right? So there's like a million examples of that. But embrace failure and invite failure. It's literally an integral necessary part of the success process is to fail. Best for last. The number one surefire level up strategy, no matter what your industry, is to embrace the fact that your worth and your value are non-negotiable. Not only are they non-negotiable, and I want you to get this, your worth and your value are not tied in any way to your production. Your pay might be tied to your monetary value. Your pay from your boss might be tied to your production. Your pay from the market might be tied to your production, but your self-worth, your value as a human is not in any way tied to how well or how not well you do at shit. In fact, there is no amount of failure. There's no amount of shortcoming in a project, in your production, in your work, in anything that is an adequate justification for you withholding or depriving yourself of your own love. There is no amount of failing worthwhile that is a reasonable excuse for you to stop fucking loving yourself. Period, the end. I have the full ability, and that doesn't mean you're all sunshine and rainbows thinking that your fucking shit doesn't stink and that like you're good at everything. Because believe me, that's not the case. Nobody is good at everything. But me saying I'm good at shit, or me saying I'm bad at shit, or me saying I did well here, or me saying this area, I failed fucking miserably, and here's everything that I did that I would have done differently, does not change my opinion of who I am, of what I'm worth. I just recorded a great podcast with a guy who is saying the fallacy is that more needs to happen before we can be happy. More needs to happen before we can be loved. More needs to occur before like I deserve all of this stuff that I've been working towards. Separate how much you're worth and how much you value yourself. Separate how good of a job you did today or at X, Y, and Z and how much you love yourself. Separate your following and your production levels and anything in the world that you're pushing towards. Because you can give yourself love, warm sunshine, rainbows, sprinkles, fucking hugs and kisses and whatever. Or you can give yourself tough love in the form of very real feedback and very real, like, ass kicking, like, be fucking real, dude. You did not put your everything into this and it shows. But they're both love. And you're loving yourself through it. You're not breaking yourself down through it. If you embrace failure and you invite failure and you're fucking swinging for the fences and you're trying your hardest, there is nothing but success. There's success and there's learning. But even in the event that you fall short, I want you to love the fucking shit out of yourself. And once you've gotten really good at loving the shit out of yourself, get in the habit of spreading that message, of standing for it, of not tolerating self-deprecating talk around you. People are not allowed to belittle themselves in front of me. I just won't tolerate it, period. I don't care who they are. Watch the magic that occurs, because when you live like that, loving yourself regardless of whether you're being hard on yourself or you're being easy on yourself, whether you're celebrating yourself or whether you're criticizing yourself, all of which I fucking do, my love for myself doesn't waver. I invite you to shift into that, because that right there under all of it will make you the most impervious Terminator motherfucker on the planet, that no matter what is thrown your way, you have the ability to keep pushing and to keep thriving and to keep out creating and to keep getting fucking hit with shotgun shells and keep fucking moving forward. And really, that's all it's going to take to be successful, is to keep fucking moving at your target. Because the rest of it, unless you're just like dense and keep running into the same wall over and over again, you'll be able to figure out. So recap, create directional clarity, audit your squad, be very sensitive to the vibes that you're around. Number 8, inundate yourself with positivity. Number 7, rally your tribe. That means making what you stand for very clear. Number 6, create assets. Record the shit you fucking know so they can be redistributed. It doesn't have to come from you every time. Find a mentor. You don't have to make every fucking mistake in the book from scratch, from square one. Find someone that's done it before and have them help you or work with you to accelerate that process. Number 4, catch yourself being good. Just like I validate my son to help to cultivate the things in him that I want to reinforce, catch yourself being good. You should be reinforcing the things you love about yourself and the things that you are strong at naturally or with effort. Literally, make a list and just flow those things, at the very least, acknowledgement, because what you put your attention on expands. Number 3, shift to a contribution-based mindset. You can't throw truth bombs. You can't throw value bombs. You can't like give and give and give relentlessly and not have that stuff boomerang back to you. It's not the reason you do it, but it's a cold, hard fucking fact. If you just hardcore outproduce people in the giving department, the whole landscape of what you are attempting to create, the amount of fucking support that I've gotten with Inside Out Empowerment is staggering. It is humbling. And I'm not talking about from like people that are helping me with each step of the process. I'm talking about from people that I forgot that I impacted. They're just like, hey dude, what can I do? And I'm like, huh, I'm not even trying to cash anything in, but I'm really fucking appreciative that I put shit out there because I am struggling in this way. And this is what I think you can do. You look at this and tell me your perception of where I need some help. Number 2, embrace and invite failure. And number 1, and by far the most important, your worth and your value are absolutely, unequivocally, motherfucking non-negotiable. I'm Joshua Nussbaum and I love you guys. Thanks for stopping by. Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. When it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonate Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say, didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff.
And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them, and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram at RevLabsPrez, on YouTube at Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon. Just watch me now. Just watch me now.